The Mishnah in Shabbos on that day, that the whole list of cases of the Hotzah, that a person violates Shabbos on for doing Hotzah. Why the second Shabbos starts off with the Malacha of Hotzah is an interesting discussion itself. But the Mishnah starts off with the Hotzah, and it goes through all sorts of cases. Let's say the Baal HaBayis is inside, let's say, the Baal HaBayis is inside his house, there's Nani coming to bed. So the Baal HaBayis hands it to the Ani, and the Ani takes the Ani, which is in his hand, and takes it out. The Ani hands it to the Baal HaBayis, the Baal HaBayis hands it to the Ani. The Ram goes through all the possible. Mishnah goes through all the possible cases, leaving almost like no stone uncovered. Every single detail is mentioned. Right, again, the Baal HaBayis, it goes through the Baal HaBayis, puts the case, does the Akira and the Hanafa. And it was known as a valid chapter, but not just if it looks when it comes to the Akira, put it down to the Hanafa. Let's say the Baal HaBayis does the Akira, but not the Hanafa. Let's say the Ani does both. Let's say it's going in, it's going out. There's all sorts of possibilities. And the Farshim explained the reason why is because we want to cover all Sa'ah and Hanachnasa. Is the Farshim the same? So the Farshim explained that Hotzah is a unique Malacha, called Malacha Garua. It's a weaker Malacha. It's not the same standard Malacha as all the other 38 of them. There are 38 standard Malachas, and one of them is very, very weak. Why is it so weak from the Farshim described? The different reasons, the word Garua effect, because at the end of the day, nothing intrinsically changed, it's just a relocated object, whatever the case may be. The Farshim described, you can carry something around all day, it's very light, and all of a sudden it goes from Shus HaYachim to Shus HaRabim, and it gets very heavy. And I'm saying, it's not heavy, but now it's Asur, sorry. They call it a Malacha Garua. Are there any halachic nafkaminas to being a halachic garua, a malacha garua? So there are a few. Rabbi Yeshua writes that in general you cannot have an animal do malacha. The Hotzah maybe you can, only us to do Rabban and not us to do Raisa. The Shalom Meshiv, the Rambam seem to disagree, that no, this would not be any different. There are other potential nafkaminas. As a general rule, some of the person violates Shabbos, the amazing, though it's us, that person, we all live in Asher to Acher, so monkey Shabbos. I think possible. Now, folks, tonight, if I cook on Shabbos, so you guys can eat it on Shabbos, and I can't eat it ever. What about Hotzah? So, some of the Chayyadim things, maybe you can be making with Hotzah. There are potential other exceptions to the rule. In any event, the point that we were getting at, an education we're going to adopt from the Malacha of Hotzah, is that every single detail is listed in this Mishnah, but yet Havara is not. There are two potential, what we call in English, carrying Yisurim. One is Hotzah, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. And there's an entirely different issue, which is Dalet Amos to Rishus HaRabim. And being that the Mishnah goes out of its way to mention every single detail, every single Nakuda of Hotzah, you find it striking, you find it noteworthy, a little bit interesting that Havara is not found in the Mishnah. The question I guess one could ask is, well, why not? Why is Havara not found in the Mishnah of Hotzah? If every single detail is mentioned, every single item is intentionally mentioned because it's a Malacha Garua, whatever, so why is Havara not found in it? And is it just something technical that we're talking about the Hotzahs, and I guess Hotzahs and Havaras are so similar and so parallel that once you know, even the Hotzah and Hachnasa are less parallel than potentially Hotzah and Havara. They're fundamentally the same, or at least fundamentally, they belong in that Mishnah for technical reasons. We're only mentioning Hotzahs and not Havaras for every technical reason, not my faith. Or alternatively, one could suggest, no, you see that they're fundamentally different. You see that Hotzah and Havar are different. The question is, why would they be different? Are they really different? What other clues might one have to indicate that Havara, Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, is different from Hotzah and Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim? But the start is, what's the source? That's always a great place to learn. The same source is more indicative of the fact that they're the same. If they're different, there's a good chance it's indicative of the fact that they're different. So the source for Hotzah, the rising of that has its own pasuk, or at least, the Gemara seems to have, you mentioned the two pasukim. Again, why do you need a pasuk? No other malacha need a pasuk, and the Farshim explained because it's a malacha of Ruach. But Havar is a halacha l'moshe misina. And the question is, what is that halacha l'moshe misina? Thinking that it's also chayiv, but that it's chayiv just like Hotzah. And really, my question is, how similar and how different are Hotzah from Havara, one from Kiyabe? How similar and how different are they to each other, from each other, etc. So, probably the most important Gemara about this, there's two, essentially, Nachlok Shem comes up once in the Arabic, Nachlok's toasting the Rashi, we'll leave that to the side. We're going to discuss the things about the Sugya of Sukkah. Let's we'll close that window on Thursday here in the whole city. The drums and bar mixtures, there's a wild thing going on. Thank you. Monday and Thursday. It's a Thursday, the bar mixtures are. I dug into Kozo this morning, but you know, I'm really one by mixture. Video cameras going around, and that's, you know. What is my mission for this year? The Jitter. So the Gemara in the second Sukkah writes that a person should not lift the Mishnah in the fourth back of Sukkah. Right in the beginning of the fourth back of Sukkah, the Mishnah writes a person should not lift up a lulav on Shabbos. You know, the really the mitzvah of doing it on Shabbos, we don't do it. The Mishnah actually says, in the time of the Mishnah, we do it the first day. In other words, the person days 2 through 7, days 2 through 7, we don't lift up a lulav. But day 1, you're not too good at it, huh? I don't know what you're doing there, but you're dropping every session. 8 drops in a row. Takes time. A lot of buckle. The kids here. The Mishnah there writes, you should not lift up a lulav days 2 through 7 of Sukkis, and halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara explains, you don't want to do it the first day. And the Gemara says, why not? Why can't you lift up a lulav on Shabbos? You shouldn't kill the Baalma, this could be Mokta, potentially. That's a mitzvah of Rabbanan. There's no way to mitzvah the Rabbanan without a mitzvah the Rabbanan. So, the issue of the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, no, it's not the problem of total Baalma, rather, it's a different problem. It's Shemi Yavi Renu Dalad Amos Pershas Harab. You're going to come to carry. Now, the Mepharshim point out, why does it say Shemi Yavi Renu Dalad Amos Pershas Harab? Why doesn't it say Shemi you're going to come to do Hotsah from Pershas Hayachi to Pershas Harab? The Mepharshim are bothered that the Gemara, when it describes the potential concern of carrying, jumps to the potential concern of Dalad Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, i.e. Havara, and it skips over, doesn't mention the potential concern of Otsa. So the question is, why is this? And again, methodologically, you can deal with this one of two ways. And you can suggest what? What could you suggest? Why would it not mention Otsa? Why would it not mention the Rishus HaYachim, the Rishus HaRabim concern? Why would it just mention the Havara concern? But I thought it could be, you're right, it could have mentioned both. You're 100% right, they're two equally great concerns. However, there are technical, differences, or it makes more sense to say Havara than Hotsa for whatever small, minute technical reasons. Or one could say fundamentally, they're very different, and based upon the fundamental differences, this is a lot more appropriate. Havara is a lot more appropriate to the scenario. If you look at the Rishonim there, that's exactly what you can do. Take a look at Rashi on them. Well, Rashi says, Yavi Renu Dalad Amos Rishus HaRabim. Who had in the Marti Lameimar V'yotim Rishus HaYachin Rishus HaRabim? Really, you could have said, Hotsa, Ela Shalom Makomos V'inyanim Amrina Yesh L'chosh L'Havar Azar V'amos V'ein L'chosh L'Hotsa K'gonim Haya Munach V'karmelos V'karfif V'gina T'ein Kanis Hotsa D'arayis V'yesh Kanis V'Rabbanim Rishus HaRabim. The difference is, in order to violate Hotsah D'Arayis, it has to go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab. If it goes from a Carmelis, if it goes from all these other Drabbanan students, if it goes from Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis, it's only after Drabbanan. From a Carmelis to Rishus HaRab, it's only after Drabbanan. In most cases, there aren't that many Rishus HaRabim around next to Rishus HaYachid. But in other words, Rov Makomos are not Hotsah D'Arayis, and therefore, there's no fundamental differences, but just technically, it makes more sense to give them a case that's more common, that's more frequent, there's a higher occurrence of people carrying a Dalad Amos Rishus HaRabim than there is Otsa Rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, what? We mentioned the one that's more common. This seems to indicate that there's a fundamental, not a fundamental difference. Not fundamental at all, totally technical, but fundamentally the same thing. Then Rashi has a second shot. Oh, this is going to be more relevant. Oh, he biu al minas litlo velo lahotzio v'nimla lahotzio after mishim hotza imlo ama lefush bein tayin. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos had that. We're in Shabbos. Hey, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos had that. Hey, it's not really bechinch. Which is, if I lift up this, let's say this safer in a Rishus HaYachid with intention of putting it down in Rishus HaYachid. But then I change my mind and walk outside to Rishus HaRabim and put it down over here. The Akira was in fact done in the Rishus HaYachid. The Hanacha was in fact done in the Rishus HaRabim. But when I did the Akira, my Kavanah, my intent was what? Not to carry. So it says Rashi, that's not Hotsah D'Arayis. In order to violate the Sada, right, like the Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos and Daf, Rashi quotes, you have to lift it up with intention of carrying. The Akira has to be not just a physical Akira, but an intended Akira as well. That's the Gemara over there. So what is Rashi using? What is Rashi implied when he's mentioned this fact? He doesn't spell it out, I don't think. Again, oh, he view aminat little of lolo to nimla potio pati bishim hotsa im lo ama lo push me kain. Rashi doesn't spell it out. What's the implication? You with me over here at all? No, you with me over there. You with me? Okay, we're not losing, but you're pretty simple so far.
So I didn't really, I was trying to catch up.
Oh, yeah, you walked in late. Simon's with me? Thanks, you with me? Rashi is trying to figure out why the Gemara said Havara. And he says, because there's a halacha by Hotsa, which is if you do an Akira, and it's just Harabi, or it's just Hayaki, with the intention of not doing Hotsa, and if you do Hotsa, you didn't violate Hotsa. What's the implication? Why then does the Gemara write specifically Hotsa, Shemiyad, Ren, Dalad, Avish, Mishas, Harabi? Why does the Gemara mention Hotsa there? Why does the Gemara not mention Hotsa? Why does it mention Havara? According to Rashi, what seems to be the answer? Because apparently this halacha, the second Shabbat, that Hotsa is limited only to to Hotsa. Now, Isra Havara, seemingly, doesn't make a difference of why you lifted it up. In other words, according to Rashi, Hotsa requires Kavanah when you do your Akira, requires and you put it down enough in a different place. Masha'en Kain Havara, seemingly, if you lift it up not to do Havara, and then you do Havara, your Akira and your Hanacha are only physical acts, according to Rashi Satin Deya, in the context of Havara, in the context of Dalal Amos Meshus Harabi. Masha'en Kain Hotsa requires an Akira and a Hanacha, not just a physical Akira and Hanacha, but actually a intended, directed Akira and Hanacha. Or again, you see from the second day of Rashi that Hotsa, going from Rishus HaYachah to Rishus HaRabin, the Akira and the Hanacha require direction, require intention for the Yisrael Kavanos list. Masha'en Kein Havara L'chora, all you need is an Akira and a Hanacha. We don't care what intention you have during your Akira and your Hanacha. Tosis on the spot, and Dr. Gimel over here said, the first day of Rashi I like a lot, but the second day of Rashi I don't like it all. Tosis argues, because if intention is needed for the Akira and the Hanacha for Hotsa, well then certainly it's required for the Havara as well. In other words, just like Hotsa has an Akira and a Hanacha which require Kavana, so too Havara's Akira and Hanacha must also require Kavana. Or in other words, Tosos seems to indicate that they're the same. Tosos here in Sukkah, again, in the area it's all different, Tosos here in Sukkah seems to indicate that the definition of Hotsa and the definition of Akira, or the requirements rather of Hotsa, the requirements of Havara, seem to be the exact same. You both need an Akira, both need an intended Akira, directed Akira, an Akira that's directed for Israel. Rashi seems to indicate there's a difference between Hotsa versus Havara. That Hotsa requires an intended Akira, an intended Hanafa. Masha'en Kein, Havara is any random Akira, any random Hanafa. And now the question becomes, well, if they are a little bit different, like according to Rashi, like Rashi seems to indicate, not like Hotsa, Tosfos seems to believe they're parallel there, similar things, just different contexts. Rashi apparently believes the context from Rishus HaYachah to Rishus HaRabin versus Havara changes things. The question now becomes, according to Rashi, what is the significance of that change? What's the difference? Why is that Hotsa different from Havara, as seen by the fact that maybe the mission is different? As seen by the fact that they're different towards one halacha Moshe Sinai, and most clearly seen by Rashi on the Sechet Sukkah Daf Mem Gimel, which is Hotsa, in order to validate this from Hotsa, your Akira has to have Kavanas to carry. Masha'en Kein by Havara. What's behind that? What's Rashi and Tosfos? Are they similar or are they different? Tosfos says they're similar. Rashi says they're different. The question is, according to Rashi, how are they different? And classic methodology would dictate, when you have two potentially surim that sound so similar, yet have different contexts, are the contexts different enough to trigger, different in nature, different in essence, or not? The Meiri seems to sharpen their potential issue a little bit stronger. The difference is that a little bit stronger. Meiri writes, according to the Gedolei HaMefarshim, their Mekarit differently. They explain why the Gemara in Sukkah mentions Havara, Shema Yad Reni Dal Amish Meshusharab, Menad Hotsaf, they're differently. They really write as follows. The Gedolei HaMefarshim tells you, Vashikr HaGzeirahi Behotsam Rishus Hayakid Shalom, Behaknasim Rishus Hayakid Shalbaki Derech Rishus Harab, the Kevin Sheinim Anicha Rishus Harab, and Ein Kam Lochi of Hotsaf, Velochi Chi of Haknas, Elochi of Havara. Says here the Chizkiyah in its follows: if you really want to perform the mitzvah properly, you'll pick it up and you'll travel from the Rosh Hashanah in your house to a through a Rosh Hashanah. Here's the other Rosh Hashanah. You're going to travel from your house through the Rosh Hashanah straight to the next Rosh Hashanah. Says the Meiri. That's the mitzvah. The Afal Pisha Chayav Havar Shetzar Hanach Vakir and the Afal Shav and 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 Shetzar Hanach Vakir. Says here, if you go without stopping, if you start with the Rosh Hasharat and Hayat, even if you walk through the Rosh Hasharat, as long as there's no Hanach in Rosh Hasharat, and you continue walking to the Baki of Rosh Hasharat, you never actually violate the Isra Dal Aysa of Hosa, since you walk straight, do not, you know, stop, do not pass, go, do not collect your mouth, that's whatever it is. As long as you're walking particularly straight, as long as there's no physical stopping, well, then there's no hanach and it's just a lot. And of course, you didn't violate Hosa, Daraisa. But the case, according to the Eri, you did violate Havara. Havara also requires a Hakira and the hanach. But what's surprising is it does that akira hanacha doesn't really have to be in the Rosh Hasharat. In other words, the chiddush of the Meiri is although havara needs to be Rosh Hasharat, havara Rosh Hasharat is an issur. If you walk down the line to Rosh Hasharat and find it in an issur, what's surprising according to the Meiri is that it's akira and it's hanacha don't have to be Rosh Hasharat. The Meiri believes. In order to violate Dal Amish Mishra Sarabi, you have to walk Dal Amish Mishra Sarabi, as well as have an Akira and a Hanacha, but that Akira and that Hanacha don't have to be in the Mishra Sarabi.
You are Havara there.
Exactly. You can do the Akira in the Mishra Sarabi, do the Havara in the Mishra Sarabi, and do the Hanacha in the Mishra Sarabi, and you'll have violated Havara Daraisa. Or in other words, the Meiri has a chiluk as well between Hotsah and Havara, which is, in order to violate Hotsah, you need the Akira in the Rosh Hashanah, and the Hanach in Rosh Hasharat. According, in order to violate Havara, one doesn't need that. One just needs any random Akira and Hanach, even if it's not in the Rosh Hasharat, which is surprising. What then is the goal? What then is the requirement, rather? What then is there a criteria for having a Akira and a Hanacha if it's not in the Rosh Hasharat? I thought the entire day is written in the Rosh Hasharat. Question of what's going on over here. Why would Akira, why would Hanacha not be so detached? Necessary, but so detached from the Havara. Again, Rosh Hasharat, Havara seems to have a very rigid Akira, Hanacha. Masha'in came over here, Havara seems to have Akira and Hanacha almost as to be like a Tanakh. It doesn't have to be in a word of it doesn't have to be in Rosh Hasharat, as long as it does exist. You get the impression maybe the Akira and the Hanacha for Hotsah is what defines the Malacha. Masha'in came Havara, where it's necessary, but not to define the Malacha, it's just a Tanakh to be over. In other words, it's an exterior criteria, but not the essence of the issue. And similarly, that would explain Rashi as well, and so good. We'll try best to figure out why that's true in a minute. We're kind of a beautiful head, we'll get to in a second. You get the impression from Rashi as well, at least Rashi and Sukkot, I think maybe the case. Rashi seems to say that the Akira and the Hanacha for Havara doesn't make a difference what you're thinking. Why? Again, arguably because for Havara, Dal Amish Mishra Sarabim, all you need is a tenai. As long as you did the akira, you did the hanacha, that's really all that's necessary. Masha'en kein hotsa, the akira and the hanacha define the malacha, in which case it's important to have the direction, the kavana, to do an issa. Why would the akira hanacha define the malacha by hotsa, not by havara? Let's just get across more of this information, and we'll try to bring it all around and sharpen it a little more. There's a steer in the Gemara between the one Gemara in Masechet Ksubis and one Gemara in Bava Kamma. Tosfos in many portions deal with the steer. The Gemara in Ksubis, based upon the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbi. You know that principle? Kim Leib the Rabbi means if a person does two averas in one act, you only get the more severe act. If let's say I take a knife and stab you, while both killing you as well as being mazik your shirt, I'm putter on the Zidu. If I chop up your arms on Shabbos, since I violated Shabbos, and Chayav Misa, the death penalty is on Pater for chopping off your arms. Even though I did it on Shabbos, because of Kim Leib and the Rabbi Nevi, give you the Rabbi Nevi, the greater two punishments. So the Gemara Ksubas on Daf Lamed says, if let's say I take an arrow and I shoot it, and the arrow rips through a shirt, leaves my Rishos HaYachin and lands in the Rishos HaRabbi, there's a principle of Kim Leib and the Rabbi Nevi, I'm Pater for the Nezikin. Why? Because I'm Chayav on Shabbos. I did an Akira, I shot an arrow in the Rishos HaYachin, and it landed in Rosh Hashanah. That Akira, that Hanukkah is Mitzvah Shabbos, and as long as I did, Hotsah, I went to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, I'm Pater Kim Leib, I messed up. Clarification. If I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah, and I shoot the arrow, and it goes Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah, I'm Pater for Nezikin. Why? Because of Kim Leib, the Rabbi now. If I'm standing in a Rosh Hashanah, the arrow went four apples, I violated Shabbos, and Chayav Daraisa, I'm Pater from the Nezikin because of Kim Leib Rabbi. That's the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Ayin, runs Ksubis and Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Ayin in a way says like this. If I'm a Ganit, and I've taken everything from your Rosh Hashanah and thrown it out to Rosh Hashanah, so I'm Chayav on Shabbos because of Hotsah, but I'm not Pater for Geneva. So the Mepharshim ask, the Tosfos ask, what's the difference? Shouldn't that also be a Hotsah Daraisa? And if there's a Hotsah Daraisa, shouldn't that trigger the din of Kim Leib the Rabbi Nei? And therefore actually Pater as well. So maybe the Mepharshim say, maybe Ezekiel is different from Geneva, maybe it goes to different Amoraim. There's all sorts of ways to answer the question. Reb Chaim says, unbelievably so, he establishes as follows. Reb Chaim says the definition of Hotsah is relocating something from Rosh HaYachin to Rosh HaRab. From Rosh HaRab to Rosh HaYachin. As long as that's the case, as long as Hotsah is an issur of relocating, one can argue that the Akira and the Hanacha are what define the issur, because it's about relocating from place X, where you did the Akira, to place Y, where you did the Hanacha. Maybe one can argue Havara is not an issur of relocating, it's an issur of moving. It's an issur of leaving one's own Rishus. The way, it's an issur of, leaving out, spreading things out, it's an issur of moving, not relocating. It's a different issur. If that's the case, according to Reb Chaim, in Havara, essentially, it's not two independent acts, one of Akira and one of Hanacha, it's the Havara, the entire process. Therefore, Havara can, because it's the entire process, because it's the movement, as long as that arrow is moving, I'm constantly violating Shabbos. So when I rip a shirt, there's Kim Leib the Rabbi. Masha'en Kein, by Hotsah, essentially, Hotsah has T1 and T2. The Akira and Hanacha are violating Shabbos. When the object actually gets thrown from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah, that's where the Geneva takes place, but that's now not violating the issue there. Why? Because Hotsah depends upon the Akira and the Hanacha, while Havara depends upon the movement. It could be, those would be differences between Akira and Hotsah versus Havara, as seen by the way Reb Chaim explains the difference, as seen by the Tosis, as seen by Rashi in the Sefer Sukkot, well, the Irian Sukkot, Akira and Hanach are not that important, maybe not even needed in the same place for Havara, Masha'in Kain, for Hotsah, because it's fundamentally different. Two more quick points, and we'll start Chazar in a minute and a half. There's a Bala Mar, which writes, the reason why it's Dalet Amos, where is the Yisra Dalet Amos come? He says the Bala Mar, it comes from the fact that a person has his own Dalet Amos. That's a quasi-Rishus Hayata. A person can make a Kinyan with Dalet Amos. What does the Bala Mar seem to say? If that's the case, you get the impression leaving your Dalet Amos to a different Rishus, a rabbi, sounds like, along the lines of the Tosfos said, Sukkah, Hotsah, and Havara are pretty similar. It's relocating from place X to place Y. Mashein came, according to the Eerie, potentially Rashi. One last little point. Here's an interesting shayla. Therefore, we have two ways of understanding the Yisra of Havara. Methodologically speaking, you have Havara and Hotsah. How similar are they? If it's left out in Mishnah, the fundamental reasons, the technical reasons, are there any halachic difference between Havara and Hotsah? We pointed out three potential ones. Number one, do you need kavana when you lift up and do the akira and hanaf before the havara? So you definitely do it about havara machlokes rashtotos. Number two, do you need the akira and the hanaf for havara to be a rishus harabi? According to Moshe Sharmi, yes, according to me, you know. Why? Again, because the akira hanaf is just a tanakh. But essentially, the issue is one of moving, not one of relocating. And the last is the chayim skill that kimle raminei would be true by havara, but not by hotsa, because havara every second along the way the arrow is moving, you're violating Shabbos. Mashein came by hotsa, where it depends upon the akira and hanacha, the movement of it is really within 40, the relocation in a new halakhic territory. That's potentially the difference between havara and hotsa.